Thank you. for you attending the mission. We have found in times past that sometimes Wednesday not Monday night is the big dip for us, but there's a good number here tonight. We appreciate that, especially this is an extra week. And you've come and it's been operating to our own people to make it known and tell people that the mission is continuing. So we do appreciate that. Two more nights, as Mervyn has said, tomorrow night and Friday night. The countdown is getting more. We used to sing that chorus as children, speaking about the coming of Christ, and certainly that is so. The countdown is getting lower every day. We used to sing 10 and 9, 8 and 7, 6 and 5 and 4. Call upon the Saviour while you may. How we need to be ready for the coming of Christ. Well, the countdown of the mission is getting lower every day this week. And we do commend to you the final two nights that you might pray with us earnestly that we'll have a visitation. I want to open our scriptures tonight to the Gospel of Luke in the chapter 10. I have to confess, more than any other night, I've wrestled with what I should preach this evening. And when we preached last night and we drew attention to the judgment day, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, and there is the after this, the judgment, death does not end at all. There is life beyond the grave, and there's coming that day when there will be a great disturbance through the whole earth. And every man, woman, boy and girl, from the beginning of time to the end of time, will be resurrected. And we will all stand before God. There is a judgment day. And we happen to mention some of the cities that receive privileges from God. And I thought maybe we'll get to that in the rest of the mission. And yet as the day went on and we sought to prepare our hearts for tonight, we were staying away from that and we're looking at so many other things. But the Lord has brought us back to this chapter, and I trust that the Lord will help us tonight as we bring the message. It's a message for you. Luke chapter 10, we're going to read from verse 1. Let us listen carefully to the scriptures tonight. It is the word of God. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face, into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, ye shall turn to you again. And the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which have been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, and this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. We end the reading at verse 20. We'll bow together in prayer just for a moment. Let's seek the face of the Lord. Lord, we thank thee for the expressions of the gospel so far in song tonight, both in what Kelly has brought before us and in the congregation of singing. We do rejoice that we have been led to Christ, the Redeemer of men, the Saviour who came into this world. We thank thee that we have been challenged concerning our relationship with God and the fact that one day we shall meet the Lord and preparation needs to be made. Thank thee for your word, these verses that we've read together from the Gospel of Luke. And we pray that thou would write them upon every heart, that we might not sin against thee. There are great truths here, Lord, we believe, that you want us to hear tonight. You want to impress upon our minds and our hearts. And so, Lord, we say, come near and speak to us, each and every one gathered here. May it not merely be the voice of a preacher, but the voice of God. We are but the instrument in your hand. We are here to bring your word, your message. And Lord, we pray that it will be thus and thus saith the Lord. And it will be what Christ has to say in this meeting. By the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit that everyone will hear. We pray therefore that the preacher will pale into insignificance. That Christ will be seen, that Christ will be heard. And that we will feel the very hand of God powerfully upon this service tonight. Come down, therefore, stand in our midst, speak to every waiting heart, give the help that we need, for we feel at this moment so weak of all men, but grant us the infilling of God the Holy Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll not read the text again because it's a few verses that we will look at tonight, and we're going to pay attention particularly to verse 11 through to verse 15 of this passage of Scripture. And perhaps the overall thought is the repeated phrase that we have here in this chapter. We read it tonight, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. 70 disciples are sent forth by the Lord Jesus Christ to go out and to preach the kingdom of God. These 70 are in addition to the original 12 that were sent forth by Christ. As always, as we read in verse 2, the laborers are few. As it was in the days of Christ, so it is in the day in which we have lived, and in every century in between. In the work of God, the laborers have always been few. We're just reminded as God's people tonight that we are still to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers, therefore he must raise them up so that he might send them forth into the harvest fields of this world. These men were to go from city to city presenting the gospel. And some of these cities would receive them, they would hear them, they would respond to the message that they preached, and so there would be success, gospel success. Souls would be saved and brought to Christ. There would be great triumph. And we know something of the success of this mission because we read it tonight there in verse 17 that the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And if you read the next verse, Jesus responding to this, he said, yes, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Your account is right. And so they have come back with this report. They have joy in their heart. They've been successful in the mission. They have seen the overthrow of the power of the devil. And the Lord says, yes, I know that. because the Lord knows everything. And he said, I saw Satan fall from heaven. I saw his kingdom being overthrown as you went out there to preach the gospel that I sent you to preach. But joy and success was not everywhere experienced. Now, indeed, it is a wonderful thing when the gospel brings success. And when souls are wrought upon and men and women are brought to Christ, it brings gladness, it brings joy, and there is a sense of victory. We've known something about that in this mission already, but it's not always the case. Because the Savior tells us here that some of the cities into which they were sent would reject the message that they preached. And to such a place of rejection, Christ had a special word. He instructed his disciples to make a testimony against it before they left its boundaries. And so we read there in verses 10 and 11, into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out of the streets of the city. And this is what they were to say, verse 11, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you, notwithstanding being sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. So you get the picture. They go into this city, they are received, there's blessing, there's joy, there's success, and that is good, but they go into another city, and there they are rejected, and the Lord says, when that happens, you get out of there, and you bear a testimony against that city and that people, that they have rejected me, they have rejected my message, and shake off the very dust from your feet as a witness against them. And notwithstanding, he says, be sure of this, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. The fact that the gospel was preached there, even in the place where Christ was rejected, was an honor. It was a blessing. The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. That means that they were brought near glory, that they were near salvation, that they were within the reach of Christ. And sadly, some who hear the gospel, they reject it, and they turn away from the speaking voice of God. It is an unspeakable blessing to listen to the gospel. But God requires action. He requires a response. He doesn't want men just to listen to the gospel and go merrily onward in life's journey. He expects them to give a response, to do something with that message, and not to reject it. He desires them to accept it and to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. So that's what the Lord is looking for. That's what he has been looking for in this mission. And so there is a great emphasis as you read a passage of Scripture like this and you see what's happening here. There's a great emphasis according, judgment according to privilege. Alright, understand that. You've been privileged, and especially in gospel terms, and you've been given the message of Christ. There will be judgment concerning that privilege. God will judge you accordingly. There's a verse in the Bible that says, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. So when God gives light, and he gives understanding, and he gives this glorious message of the gospel that Jesus Christ is able to save, and he's able to save men from their sin and from the destruction that is coming, they will be judged accordingly as to how they have received that message or rejected that message. Some of these cities our Savior singles out by way of notorious examples that they had actually rejected him. Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. They were all bordering the Sea of Galilee, where the Savior did most of his mighty works, where he spent most of his time during his earthly ministry. These cities are much like the cities and the towns and the villages right here in Northern Ireland. And we have to say, in comparison to the rest of the world. You know, this little province of Ulster has been blessed perhaps more than any other place, certainly that I know of. And I know that the gospel has got out into the nations of the world. And I know that there are faithful men throughout the earth, and they're preaching the gospel, and men are hearing it in various parts of the world this very day. But Northern Ireland has been singularly blessed. And I believe that we're square mile. We're still probably the most gospel-preaching church or gospel-preaching country in all the world. We have been given blessings and privileges when it comes to spiritual things. So there's many people that are sitting in our churches and coming to our missions, and they are represented here, exalted to heaven. But one day, if they die in their sin, they will descend to hell. That's what the Savior says here, particularly about Capernaum. Capernaum, you have been exalted to heaven, but one day you're going to be brought down to hell. I wonder, will that be you? Because you have heard the gospel over and over and over again. And you have had the privileges that these cities have. Well, we're going to look at it tonight. Under these terms, exalted to heaven, but brought down to hell. And I want you to think just about what I've been saying there in the first place. I want you to think of the tremendous privileges bestowed upon these cities. Now, there were three cities where the Lord Jesus Christ had often walked. The ones that are mentioned here. Into them the blessed Son of God, the eternal Son of the Father, entered. His feet walked in the streets of those cities. His voice was heard within the walls of those cities. And many of the mighty, mighty miracles that he did when he was here on earth were performed within those cities. The first one that he mentions is a place called Chorazin. Now this city is not singled out in the history of the Gospels for any particular deed that Jesus did there. But it's mentioned. We are assured by the statement of this reading that there must have been some very noteworthy miracles wrought in Chorazin. It was 2 miles north of Capernaum. Probably the mighty works that were done in Capernaum were of the same nature that were done in this city. We know that when Christ dwelt at Capernaum, it is said back in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, and verse 38, it is the words of Christ. He's now in Capernaum, and he's saying to the disciples, "Let us go into the next towns." And one of the next towns was this town, Chorazin. "That I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." And it says, "And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils." The very last verse of the Gospels, that brings you to the last verse of John chapter 21, tells us something very interesting. It says, "There were also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." In other words, the Gospels do not tell us everything that Jesus did when he was here upon the earth. There were many other things that he did, but Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John do not record them. And if they were put down in writing, all the libraries of the world would not contain all that Jesus did. And so we think of this city, though it's not specifically mentioned in the scripture that Jesus did a mighty miracle there, we know that he did from what is recorded in this passage that we've read tonight. And then the other city, the second city that is mentioned, is Bethsaida. And I see a blind man who was led by the hand, and he beseeches the Master, the Lord Jesus, that the Lord might touch him. He comes in his blindness. He has a great need. I want to be healed. I want to be touched by the Lord. I've heard about what Jesus has done for so many others. I want my eyes opened. And he actually takes him just outside the boundaries of this city. And he restores his sight. And that was a mighty miracle. And not far from Bethsaida, there were many, many cases of healing. All that came to Christ with all their diseases, with all their maladies, were healed. You know the power of Christ in in the miracles that he performed. The 5,000 were fed with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish not far from this place. A great miracle. The sailors saw what Jesus did. Then he mentions Capernaum. Capernaum was a special city. You see, this was the headquarters of Christ when he was on the earth in his ministry. This was the base. This is where he centered his work, right here in this city of Capernaum. It's here that the centurion's servant was healed. He had a palsy, we are told. He suffered greatly. And he didn't even have to go to where the servant was. You maybe know the story. Jesus just spoke the word, and the man was healed. Wonderfully healed. And then we note what we have in the Gospel of Mark. We mentioned chapter 1. There's some other verses that I want to read from Mark chapter 1 that tell us about what happened in this city of Capernaum during the ministry of Christ. Mark chapter 1 and verse 21. If you have your Bibles, look it up and follow the scripture with me. They went into Capernaum straightway on the Sabbath day. He entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For what authority commandeth he the unclean spirits, and they do obey him?" And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. In verse 30 we read about Simon Peter's mother-in-law. His wife's mother, she lay sick of a fever, and the Lord came and healed this dear woman. In chapter 2, in the opening verse, he enters Capernaum again, and it was noised abroad that he was there in a particular house. And verse 2 tells us many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And then we go on to read about the healing of the man who was sick of the palsy. You remember the trouble his friends had getting him into that house, to the place where Jesus was. And they climbed onto the roof and they pulled back the tiling and let him down to where the Savior was, and the man was wonderfully cured. We read in chapter 3 in verse 1 that he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And there's another wonderful story of healing that takes place. And you know the story of Jairus' daughter, the little 12-year-old girl that was sick and died of her sickness. It was in this very city where that miracle was performed, when Jesus raised the child to life again. So this is what happened in Capernaum. These wonderful miracles. And yet, despite these miracles that happened not only in Capernaum, but in Chorazin and Bethsaida, the inhabitants of these cities, by and large, remained impenitent and unbelieving. And they did not turn to Christ. Miracles proved who he was, but they refused to accept him. These miracles testified to his deity, the healing of all disease, the casting out of all demons, the raising of those who were dead to life again, and still they did not believe. Blessings were poured out upon these cities without measure. Not only were mighty miracles done in these cities, but remember the words, "The kingdom of God has come nigh unto you, and thou art exalted to heaven." In other words, the gospel was brought to their doors, preached in their homes, echoed in their streets, sounded forth with plainness and solemnity. They were lifted toward heaven. They were brought to the very gates of glory. They stood within the reach of being saved by the grace of God. What a privilege that was. And God had done all these things and shown his power among them and presented the gospel among them. And so we say they were privileged. They had all these opportunities in the coming of Christ to their cities and the preaching of Christ to these people. Heaven came down and they were exalted towards heaven. And we have to say that some of you in this service tonight are just like Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. You have been brought so near to the Lord, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you, and thou art exalted to heaven. What bountiful privileges. Maybe not for everyone, but I know for some in this gathering. I was just thinking about a man living in this life for 70 years. I want you to think about that. Some of you are not anywhere near 70. But I want you to think about someone right here in Northern Ireland living 70 years who has enjoyed gospel privileges. Let's assume this man has gone to Sunday school. Say he started at the age of 4 and he went through Sunday school until the age of 14. Sunday school is on about 40 weeks in the year. If the man in his childhood was able to get to Sunday school every week, you know, my friends, how many times he would have attended the Sunday school? It is something like 440 times. I hope I've got my calculation right. You say that this man in his childhood, like so many of our children, went to children's meetings as well. And he went to the children's meetings in his childhood from the age of 4 through to the age of 11. And the children's work, maybe not as long in the year as the Sunday school work, but 30 weeks, say, in the year. That means he may have attended 240 children's meetings. And if he went to church from the age of 10 until his present age, 70, just once a week, he would have heard the gospel over 3,000 times. And maybe the same man has gone to church twice on the Lord's Day. You see, what I'm saying is there are people in Northern Ireland that have privileges after privileges given to them as far as the gospel is concerned. And they have heard the gospel hundreds upon hundreds of times. You've lost count of the many times that you've heard the word of God. From your mother's knee, through the Sunday school, Bible class, youth fellowship, right up until this present time. Gospel missions that you have attended. Are you not just like these cities tonight in the tremendous privileges that have been given to you? Because I want you to notice, secondly, as you look there at verse 13 of our reading, the terrible rejection demonstrated because these cities rejected the Lord. And verse 13 reads, it's a woe that the Lord pronounced upon them. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which have been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. All these miracles were performed in the presence of these people. Many a sermon they had listened to from the lips of Christ and from the lips of the disciples. And often they were brought near to God, near to heaven itself, near to salvation. And yet they refused the call. And that's inexcusable. The gospel was brought to their doors, but they shut their doors and they barred their doors against Christ. And that's what some of you have been doing for years. Time and time again, the Lord has called, and you've heard that voice. You've heard that voice of the Spirit of God speaking in your soul. His hand has knocked at the door. But you have refused to come. You have refused to open the door of your heart to Him. Remember those words in Proverbs chapter 1 where the Lord says, turn you at my reproof. The Lord comes and he reproves people. He says, when you hear me reproving you, I want you to turn. He says, turn and I will pour my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. So if you turn to the Lord when he reproves you and convinces you of your need, then he promises blessing. But verse 24 says, he goes on to say these words, because I have called and he refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have settled not all my counsel and with none of my reproof. You see what's happening here? See what the Lord is saying? I've called you. I've spoken to you. I've asked you to turn, but you haven't listened to me. You've turned away from my speaking voice. He has sent messenger after messenger, preacher after preacher, and they have bidden you to come. Come to Christ, that you might be saved from your sin, but you would not come, you would not hearken. The Lord has stretched out his hands. He has pleaded with you. He has spoken to you. He has demonstrated his power around about you, and yet you reject. And he says in verse 13, if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, these other cities, which had been done in you, these were sinful cities, Tyre and Sidon. If I had gone there instead of to you, if I had done my miracles there instead of doing them in your cities, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. These cities that the Lord singles out were Gentile cities. They were not cities of the Jews. They had no Bible. They had heard no sermon. They saw no miracle, but Jesus says, if they had, they would have received these privileges. And they would have repented, and they would have sought me. You know, my friends, other nations of our world are not as privileged as you. You want to get a hold of that tonight. Other nations are not as privileged as you. You look back over the course of our history over the past, say, 500 years, when you look back to the Reformation times, and we think of what God has done in this nation. Times of Reformation, times of revival, times when God has moved mightily, when hundreds of thousands of souls have been brought to Christ. Think of what God has done in this wee land of ours, raising up preachers, going forth with the gospel, giving to us that great year that we spoke about in the preparation week of our mission, when the Spirit of God descended into this province. We call it the year of grace, 1859. Revival came, 100,000 souls saved in that year. Think of those years of gospel preaching through W.P. Nicholson, going from city to city, town to town, in the early part of last century, right up to the middle part of the century. Hundreds and thousands of people converted through his ministry and other great preachers. So we think of what God has done for this particular part of the world, and he hasn't done it. I can take you to countries tonight and you see them all the time on the media. Some of them are featuring very, very frequently, and I tell you, there's no gospel there, or very, very little gospel there. And 99% of the population are in ignorance or in darkness. They do not have the gospel of Christ. And we have to say tonight, the state of affairs at the moment, even England's not as privileged as you are. Because over these decades, England has become very heathen indeed. Little light there. It may be that others would sooner come to Christ and embrace him as their Savior sooner than you would if they just heard. If the gospel could just get up there with greater freedom into North Korea. It's one of the worst countries in the world for persecution. And the Lord has a people there, but they are a persecuted people. They don't have freedom. They could never come to a community setting like this and have the gospel. They can never go out into the open air and preach the gospel or give out gospel tracts freely. No, they are in hiding. They are part of the underground church of today. But I think of people in North Korea, if they could hear what you're hearing in this gospel mission, might they would come to Christ sooner than what you are. And tonight you're rejecting the Lord. You are despising the Lord. You are ignoring His call. You are trampling under feet His love. You are murdering all the opportunities that He gives to you. How foolish. Because you'll notice in the final place the tragic condemnation that is foretold. Mark what it says in verse 12. Jesus says, I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. That city that has received the Lord and seen His miracles and heard Him preach. Look at verse 14. It shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And he was speaking particularly there of Chorazin and Bethsaida. And then verse 15. And thou, Capernaum, here where I have made the city the centre of my ministry, the headquarters of my ministry, and thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shalt be thrust down to hell. Tyre and Sidon have many wicked sinners, no doubt, but Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum were worse. You think about that. They were more perverse as far as God was concerned. Why? Because they rejected Christ. They rejected the gospel. And how vile and depraved were the citizens of Sodom. And if you don't know what the Sodomites were like, you go back and read the history that God gives to us in the book of Genesis. And yet, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum were more vile. That's what God is saying here. For despite all the privileges poured out, they shut their hearts to Jesus Christ and they said no to the Holy Spirit of God. There is a question that has been asked among the theologians and Bible students through the centuries. Are there degrees in hell? Are there degrees of punishment in hell? Is that right? I believe there are. If the Savior is saying it's going to be worse for these people that have heard, these people that have been privileged, then it must be. But even the person that has the least torment, what an awful place it is to die in your sin when you think of what hell is like and what the Bible describes hell as being like. Exalted to heaven, but thrust down to hell. That would even suggest to me that there are degrees in hell. Thrust down to hell. It seems as if the Lord is saying, do you see you cities that have had all these privileges, and particularly you who live here in Capernaum, you're going to be thrust down to the lowest hell. Because you rejected me. And you rejected my offer of grace. You rejected the salvation that I was able to impart to you. You know, the murderer will have his just desserts. It's laid up for him. What an awful place hell will be for the murderer. We know that. And of course, the man of lust and sensuality and immorality is facing a terrible final sentence when he stands before God for his sin. And all those men of perversion, what an awful hell is awaiting them, but nothing, the Lord is saying, compared to the souls who have been exalted to heaven, who have been given the privileges of the gospel. That's the worst hell of all. Just sit and do nothing as you hear the gospel pressed upon your heart, and one day you'll find yourself in hell. By rejecting the Lord, neglecting so great salvation. Because the greatest sin that you can commit is rejecting Christ. Because Christ is God. And God gave His Son to this world. He who was eternal God was manifested in human flesh in the incarnation. And He was born as a babe in Bethlehem and grew up into His manhood. At the age of 30 began His public ministry, which lasted just a mere 3.5 years. But that person that was here on the earth was the God-man. And to reject Him, after all that He has done, coming into this world to be the Savior of men, to live for us, to die for us, that's the worst crime. That's the worst sin. exalted to heaven, brought down to hell. My friends, in this mission, the kingdom of God has been brought very near to you. What are you going to do with it? I can't decide for you. You must decide for yourself. That decision must be yours tonight. You either receive Christ, as some of these cities did, or you reject him. It's as simple as that. There's no middle ground. I wonder what you've done with Christ tonight. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thou hast been visiting with us in this mission. You have answered prayer. Every night you have brought us in to hear your word. We thank thee for the unconverted present with us every night. How gracious thou hast been even to put it into the hearts of people to come, that they might receive the great privilege of the gospel, that they might hear that there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin, that there's a door that's open that all may go in. It's at Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as sinners to thee. We thank thee for those that are present with us tonight and have been this week, this extra week. And Lord, this is your mercy, that the mission has continued for these extra nights, that another opportunity might be given to those who come. I want to praise thee tonight for such a wonderful Savior. Thank thee for Christ. Thank thee for his coming into the world. We praise thee that he came to save us from our sin and to save us from the condemnation of our sin. For what we all justly deserve was hell. Lord, I deserve to be damned in the deepest hell. I know that tonight. But I'm glad about your mercy. Lord, you love me. You gave yourself for me in the person of Christ. Thank you for the day that you saved me, drew me to Christ, when the Holy Spirit entered and I was born of God. Lord, I know that I did not deserve it. I still don't deserve it. There's nothing would ever make me a deserving sinner. But I thank thee for Jesus who bought my salvation, who merited my salvation in his sacrifice on the cross. And Lord, I'm glad you're here tonight. You're here to see all who come. Don't let men, women, and young people be like the cities that the Lord singles out here. Cities of rejection. Cities that despise the message. Cities indeed where the disciples shook off the very dust from their feet as a sign of the contempt that God had for those who rejected Christ, his Son. We pray that you bring sinners to Christ tonight. Show them that he is the way, the truth, and the life. That there's no other way of salvation but by him. And may they seek the Lord without delay. Hear our cry. We plead for the souls of men. In Jesus' name.